Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Live from the 62nd Annual Autorama at the George R. Brown Convention Center, welcome to the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. Just ahead, we've lost touch with Conrad.
Oh, no.
Will we have the car clinic?
Oh, yeah, I've got something on that. Yeah.
Okay. We'll also talk with Mr. Craig Bierman. We've got auto news just ahead. And a little sleepy time nap in about 30 minutes. Howdy along with Mike out of this world Mars. We need more Jeff Zekin.
Yep.
We also have with us today our chief engineer and bottle washer. That would be David Ainsley. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us today here at George R. Brown. And joining us at the other end of the table, and I'm glad he's far away because I don't want to get him sick. Mr. Craig Bierman.
He just wants to
get us sick. Yeah.
He was sick when I met him.
I'm just a little more sick today than I normally would be.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, I'm here to educate everybody, as you know.
Well,
Craig and I go back a distance.
Oh,
look, there goes Steve Green. It's all your fault, Steve.
Yeah, it's all his.
But our friendship.
Oh, boy.
How weird is that, man?
I don't hear violins or anything.
No.
I don't know, but, man.
It's been a rough ride.
Oh, man. God, my back still hurts from carrying you all these years.
That's funny, dude.
Oh, okay, that's enough of the interview now. We're going to go ahead and move
next,
on.
Next.
Moving on.
Next.
Well, it's funny because I think, where were you in 77? Did you have Speed and Sport then? Yeah, you did.
77. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's when I started buying parts from you.
But didn't you were doing something with headers, too?
Headman Headers, yes.
Yes,
49.95.
Let's tell that story. So one of the first things I found out about Craig is that not only did I own a speed shop, now a speed shop meaning carburetors, headers, parts, and accessories to make your car go faster, but he also was dealing in headers, exhaust headers for every kind of car that you can possibly imagine. And he says, "Bud, come on over one morning when you get off work." I said, "Okay." Went over to his house, and I walked in. He says, "Yeah, don't pay any attention to any of what's in all of the rooms of the house." I said, "There are boxes and boxes and boxes, wall to wall, floor to ceiling, in the living room, in the dining room, in a couple of the bedrooms. They were everywhere." And he was selling Headman headers. What was it? $59.95.
$49.95.
With a lifetime guarantee. See how many we unloaded? You can tell by the harmony.
Exactly. And one of the most amazing things to me was that, so I'm there, and here comes what was the delivery company? Dominion, Old Dominion or
something? Old Dominion, 18-wheeler full of them.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah, your street
every
unloaded.
Day. So they come and pick up his shipping order, which would be about the same number of headers that he had coming in that day. It was just kind of a swap. All he would do is take it and put an address label on it.
And ship it out.
And ship it out with the lifetime warranty. And I think you did pretty well on those, didn't you?
Well, that's how I got started in the business. I thought, you know, I'd never been in the mail order business, and I came up with an idea of buying something for $39.95 and selling it for $49.95. And I talked to Bob Vandergriff. I'm sure you know who he is.
Sure, race car driver.
Yeah, he owned Headman Headers. And I said, you know, I think that I could sell a lot of these for you. Well, guess what? Out of that little house I lived in the Meadows, I became the largest Headman Header dealer in the nation. Bigger than Summit, bigger than Jegs and everybody. I was selling nearly 450 sets of headers a month. So help me God.
And the neighbors never complained about the Old Dominion
sure
trucks?
They thought, what in the world is this guy doing?
Yeah.
I finally had to get me a warehouse. But
that's right.
Oh, my God. Every room was nothing but headers, Headman headers.
Yep.
And then I thought, well, since I can make that, let me try something else. Then I tried these triple truck seats. They put them in trucks. Now, they were costing me like 200 and sell them for $249. But they were drop shipping for me, so I didn't have to stock
so
any of
what,
those.
So what kind of seats? I don't recall.
It was called a triple truck seat. You put it in the middle of your, you know, 1981 Chevy truck, and it was a three seats. It had a fold-down console and folded right in place.
That's right. They didn't offer that from the factory then.
And then I finally hit the big one. The big one was the rear window louvers for Camaros and Firebirds.
Oh, louvers!
Man, did I hit the jackpot.
Hey. Did you really?
Oh, I hit the jackpot on those because the way they ship them is you could stack 10 in a box instead of being – then I got the boxes flat. And I put them in the boxes myself. Woo, hit the big one. Sold a quarter of a million of those first year.
No.
A quarter of a million.
Yeah. Sure.
But you had to have a mullet in order to buy one.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Did I do
now, what was the markup on those?
Those were, I'm trying to think. I think I sold those for $69 and bought these now for $39.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Oh, big buck. Man, I thought I was a big high roller.
So what was
this
the
time.
Name of this mail order business?
Houston Speed and Sport.
Same name.
I had that little place on the corner of Fonder and the Southwest Freeway starting out, but I ran these ads in Hot Rod Magazine.
Yeah, but wait a minute. These were he bought the cheapest ad that
two
was
by
available.
Two.
A 2x2 little
by two.
Black and white box ad.
Yes, that's how I got started.
That's all
and
it
then
was.
Eventually I got into, I ran a page, and just me and Summit for a long time. Now, he's big time now.
I'm not.
So I run a page in Hot Rod. That's about $10,000-$12,000. Been hot, popular hot rodding, car craft. So, Vince, I went to those one-page ads. I should have stuck with the 2x2, and I'd be wealthy. But that's how I got started in the mail order business. And then I became friends with, go to SEMA with Dick Moroso, and Grumpy Jenkins would be there. Man, they just lay out everything for me, from the Headman headers to the Cobell window louvers to whatever.
That's how it all started.
That's how it all started. And this guy would have to help unload the trucks.
I knew there was a downturn to this.
Man, it was hard to find good help. Man, he was free and he was good. He was free and good.
Yeah.
He knew to come over, we're going to unload trucks.
And not only that, but I believe it was the year after, or maybe at the end of that. No, it was in the spring of 78, I believe it was, that I saw a little box ad in the newspaper. And then the newspaper said, coming to Houston, the first Corvette Expo at the convention center on the
Albert Thomas
at the Albert Thomas Convention Center. And I thought, wow, man, I think I don't know anything about showing cars. I want to put my car into this. And I had the blue 77, and at the time, I don't know, I had 20,000 miles on it, and I had it all cleaned up and washed up. I had no clue what I was doing, absolutely none. And I walk in there.
Hadn't changed much over the years, has it?
Not at all. It hasn't. And I walk in there and, first of all, to load in, it was up the upstairs of Albert Thomas. So one car at a time up the elevator.
Up the elevator, yeah.
So the place was packed and nothing but Corvettes. And our Corvette, well, what ultimately became my Corvette club, I was showing there, and that's how I got to meet Bill and Sharon Seitz and the rest of the gang. I had no clue what I was doing. I showed the car with the car doors locked, the hood down, like, well, here it is. Yeah, and obviously won absolutely nothing because I was a zero when it came to knowing how to show a car. But it was I learned. And so you walk in to the Albert Thomas at this particular entrance, and there's escalators that go up to the second floor. Well, who should be at the top of the escalator? Him with his, what, your 69?
69 Corvette.
69 Corvette on a turntable.
Okay,
pearl white with a big blower sticking out of the hood. Him.
And you didn't even have your doors open.
No.
I had to teach him that because all these cars here, people that aren't used to this, if you're having the doors open, you're not going to win nothing.
Right.
That's more points. So you need to have the doors open, the trunk open, the hood open. Now, a Corvette doesn't have a trunk, so, you got to come with some other modifications because you're losing about 20 points right there.
Ah.
Yep.
But it was a great – and another quick story was on that turntable, I had a gear at the back. So the gear was offset, so the tires were turning as it went around. So one of the guys named Tony Federlin, been around forever, he protested, I don't think the car starts. So you have to start it up to prove it. So everybody in here, the rules have changed because of me. When I started it up, they jumped in gear, and it wouldn't shoot off. Damn near killed two or three people. So they changed the rules here from now on because of me, because my car used to kill some people.
Me.
Wow.
Almost.
Almost, yeah.
Almost, yeah.
But it was scary.
Enough to scare everybody.
Yeah, it came off the table, and it was unreal.
Well, I mean, you asked for it. Yeah, here you go. Yeah.
But it was a good time.
It was.
Great friendship. You know, we met a lot of people in the Corvette Club. And I still know some of those same show car people here now.
Yep.
So cars are some people's lives. Other people like to do other things. But cars has been with me my whole life.
Your blood stays
there. That's it.
That is true.
So now instead of doing the cars, now I do the chrome plating for all these people.
Yep. That are building the cars.
That's right.
And not only that, but you also sponsored the big award here.
Right.
Yeah, the Millwinders Award. We give that away Sunday night to the best car here by judges only. First time ever shown.
Well, right. Those are the – that's not the Magnificent Seven?
Yeah, one of those seven will win it. And the judges pick that and be Sunday night, represent that and $5,000 cash.
Nice.
Wow.
And that, let me tell you, it's not so much the cash because the cars are millions of dollars.
That's right.
But it's
the
more
trophy.
It's the trophy.
The prestige of having that.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. I'm a Millwinder winner.
And to that end, I don't know whether you saw the television story about the guy that actually had one of the Magnificent Seven. I think it was at the Detroit show. That he didn't know this, but somebody had snapped a picture of the car before the show opened. And they all protested because it's one of those deals where you can't show the car. Well, the car that took the picture of the car and posted it on social media. Well, can't do that. So that was a big piece of concern there.
Yeah, I think
and they wound up saying, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And he got second place. But, they're serious about that. Is he can't really mess with that sort
divulge
of stuff.
Divulge what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, the biggest of the big would be to win the Millwinders Award, which is called the Riddler Award in Detroit.
Right.
That's the top dog.
Yep.
You know, and the wagon, the black one in the front, he has run the Riddler's Award 3 years ago, but he's never shown here.
Oh.
So
he can show, but as long as he hasn't been showing
in
here
Houston.
It's a station wagon. It's got my vote.
So just to show you, so that used to be the number one car in the world. So now he's going to go up against these other seven.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, what else has he got to do if he's already won everything else?
I think that
building another car.
That should be your next project is to come up with one of those.
Just what I need, some more projects.
Sure. Yeah,
I know.
I just got to keep the bus going. That's all I need, man.
I know. The bus has a history with me, especially.
Man. Yeah.
This event, this show has a history.
Oh, yeah, well, man, that's true. It does.
The bus got a history of a lot of people here at the show.
It truly does. There are a certain number of people that come to Autorama every year that are regulars, and I don't think that the show would be what it is today if it weren't for the regulars.
Sure.
Because that's right.
We keep things hopping here, if you know what I mean.
So Larry indicated this morning that it's one of the biggest and best right now. What's your opinion? Did you get a chance to walk it yesterday or the day before?
I had a chance to walk it.
Okay.
I really haven't. But I will, but I haven't.
Yesterday.
Yeah. They're saying that it's bigger and better.
Yeah. It's a lot. I think car guys, no matter what happens, no matter what the economy is like, you always got your car guys. Mm-hmm. They're always like, you know.
Right. And, we do promote every month your Chrome and Coffee Show.
And you've got the flyers
the
up on your booth.
That's right. First Sunday of every month from 9 to noon at the Avalon Diner in Stafford, Texas.
Bruce West just came walking by. He's been to your just came walking by. He's got the blue Corvette. He's with the Corvette Club or something around here.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a great show. Not this last month, but the month before. My gosh, the parking lot was full.
Yeah, we had a very good turnout.
I'm hoping that next weekend will be that way, too.
December.
Yep. The December show.
Yep.
So, Speed and Sport Chrome Plating, how you doing over there?
Very, very good. Very busy. Shipping out all over the world, like always. Some of these guys in here that built these cars said 8 days before the show. In fact, Nick's Auto, I think he had on. But anyway, he says, Craig, I got 8 days. I got to have this car completely done on the 65 Impala over here. So I had 8 days. Got him out 2 days early. Got him done in six. Did most of the car 6 days.
Wow, nice. That's unusual for you. How far behind are you running?
We use 15 working days.
So that's not bad.
No, that's not bad. 3 weeks.
I remember years ago before I knew you, before you were in the Chrome business, that I would take it somewhere. I don't remember where it was, somewhere in Houston, to get a piece Chrome, and it took like 2 months.
Yeah, average in the nation's about 3 months is average in the whole United States.
Yeah.
So when you tell somebody 15 working days, man, that, and then, you know, I think we're probably number three in the nation now, quality and just
volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you're talking about, you know, the quality. I know that you certainly have learned a lot in doing Chrome and the aspects of the mixing and all of the stuff that it takes to Chrome something.
Oh, and there's a whole lot involved.
Yeah, a lot involved, and it's very complicated. It's not something that you just, yeah.
And there's nobody to go to if there's a problem. There's nobody to call to fix it. I mean, I was this first year I've ever been out of business for 3 weeks.
And you told me what the problem was.
A muffler on a motorcycle has a baffle inside, and all those chemicals of my nickel were in that bath inside. It couldn't drain out right. I took it over to the next tank, and then all those chemicals got in that tank, contaminated it. 1,000 gallons contaminated.
Oh, my gosh.
So we thought that's what it was, and then we found out it was the filter wasn't filtering correctly. But, I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was having a nervous breakdown.
What was the final remedy?
The final was I'd had a brand new filter. I paid a guy to rebuild and fix and all, and he didn't do it correctly. And it wasn't filtering out what was in that muffler. So put our old filter back in. My son, thank God, thought of, let's try the old filter, put it back in, and everything worked fine.
Wow.
3 weeks.
Oh.
Everybody mad.
Tell me about your display. You've got a couple of fine-looking pieces of steel there.
Well, let's talk about the GT first of all.
Yeah.
The Ford GT.
Yeah. That was a bargain buy for you back in the day.
Was that a bargain? I wish I could have bought 3 or 4 more of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd only known the value of those things.
How much has the value of that car increased?
Well, about 300%.
300%. Ooh.
300%.
That's pretty good. Now, you did do an engine modification to it.
Yeah, I put a Whipple supercharger on there with a couple pulleys and stuff like that. I still have all the original stuff, but, you know, why not?
Yeah. Well, it's an unusual GT in the fact that it doesn't have stripes on it.
That's right. Back when those were new, there was only 4 options, okay? Out of those 4 options, naturally, it's more wealthy people bought them, so what does everybody do? Give me everything. Now, the rare ones are the ones that are without the options. This one doesn't have the stripe option, so that's a good thing. And it doesn't have the BBS wheel option. It's got the which I like a whole lot better, these wheels. But so there's 2 options.
But those are factory wheels.
Those are factory wheels that I chromed. But anyway, the ones that are rare.
You'll chrome those wheels, but you won't chrome mine.
I don't chrome for nobody.
Well, that's not
nobody.
The answer that I'm looking
you're
for.
You're nobody.
Hey, nobody.
Hey, Don, where'd you get those wheels chrome from? Craig Bierman at Speed and Sport. Okay, well.
He'll chrome your wheels for you.
Yeah. I can see those phone calls now. I can see the phone call from you to me if I started that rumor.
You'd be unloading more than headers.
No doubt about that.
And you got the bus back this year. Too cool for school.
Oh, man, the bus. I mean, if I didn't bring that back, people would be very disappointed.
Now, the one thing that you haven't talked about that's not here is the bad to the bone car that you got in the garage.
The Nova or the 37?
Well, I was thinking about the 37, but the Nova too. Did you ever have
I brought
Nova
them both
here?
Last year.
Oh, you did? You did?
The 37 Ford and then the 66 Chevy 2, the Pro Street.
Yeah, the Pro Street.
It was formerly owned by JB, James Brown.
Is that right?
Super Bowl announcer.
I got you.
That was
his
car. The
one that you had so much trouble getting it to idle.
That's right. And the reason I bought it from him is because he says, I don't even know how to turn a screw, so it's very reliable. And then I got home and I couldn't get it to.
Or he'd get you down the street about 4 blocks, then it'd quit.
Yeah, so I thought, that's why I bought it. I wanted something reliable. But anyway, we fixed it.
What was it?
It was a coil.
A coil?
Yes.
Really?
The MSD coil was bad.
How funny.
It was brand new?
Well, I mean, that's part of the aftermarket process. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
That's part of it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the 37?
37, I don't take it out much. It's just so
I've only seen it out
37
once.
37 Ford, Ford with a LS in it, and it just sits. I just kind of go up, sit in the stool, and made a little stool to look like it. You know, it's painted the same color, and just kind of look at it. Stare at it every now and then.
Yeah, thinking, that's where all my money is right there.
That's it. I look at it, and, God, I just love it. Yeah. I'm scared to drive it.
Wow.
Well, I would be, too, because it's a beautiful car.
It's funny. The value of it's not anywhere near close to this, but that's black. If you ever something hit, you could match that paint easy. But this is this candy apple red. And, oh, the paint job on it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's a Boyd Coddington car, and, man, it's just, oh.
Yeah.
It's just too
fine. That's right.
Fine.
It is a Boyd Coddington car.
Yeah. So you know it's old.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he passed away a long time
ago.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it's still nice.
It
very
is very
nice.
Very nice. But, it, you know, for those people that are on the show circuit, you can tell that it is an older
modification. But mainly by the interior, by the way the upholstery is in it. Now they have a newer look than that one. But right. I'm not trying to show it, so I'm not changing nothing.
Right. Yep. So what are you doing here today? Selling chrome?
So, oh, yeah, absolutely. This day is going to be a very busy day. Saturdays are always killer here.
Yeah.
So Rob and I will both be in the booth, and we'll be just hammered by customers asking questions and are seeing our regular customers.
Or just hammered, period.
Yeah. And then have our regulars go on the bus and have a Diet Coke and some fresh popcorn.
I saw several ladies going in there.
I could go for some popcorn.
Oh yeah, that's a good customer's wives.
Yes.
I like popcorn.
And you know,
customer
like
appreciation.
I say, they love no Pepsi, but we do have Diet Coke and fresh popcorn.
There you go.
Yes. Nice.
You know,
join me for some popcorn later.
I will. Yes. I could say so many things.
I know.
Right now.
I'm trying to set you up.
Well, no, I'm just trying to figure out which one to say.
Oh.
I think it's better you don't say any of it.
Well, yeah. I was going
to
say.
Better you go on to the next time.
We have told each other some very big lies in the past, and I think that continues today. Just saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that was a lie, but I will say that we've been known to lie to one another.
Yes.
There are some people coming in. Looks like they're just
today's going to be unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, then we got a couple good guests coming today. One for sure.
Dave Kindig.
There you go. And then tomorrow we got Counts Customs.
Yeah. Danny Coker and Kevin Mack.
So they'll definitely be over. They'll be in the booth.
Before you got here, we got to interview Bad Chad.
Yes.
And his wife, Jolene.
I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah, they're walking around still, I believe. Yeah.
Really nice guy and very talented. And his wife is very sweet. So it's always good. This is a great show, and we encourage everybody to come down and be sure and stop by Craig's booth, which is right across the way
ours. It seems to be a staple. They can't set up Autorama without Craig across the aisle.
No, they like
what would you do without it? I mean, it's the entertainment for you.
They like that fresh popcorn.
It does. Yeah, Craig Bierman.
We tell Steve, are we going to be by Craig? Yeah. You're going to be right behind him. Okay.
Okay.
You're good.
That's all we need to know.
So just come see us and look for some smell that fresh popcorn.
Okay. Yeah. Come see us
and save.
Craig Bierman, Speed and Sport, Chrome Plating. Thank you, sir.
Headman Headers, $49.95.
Right.
Lifetime guarantee.
Right. And if you still got a set, bring them back. We'll still stand behind that warranty.
And you know what? We'll chrome them for you.
That's right.
Yeah. As long as you got a receipt, we'll take it.
That's it. You got to have the receipt.
Are you doing the
car
clinic?
I got it right here.
Okay, let's do it.
Right.
Thanks again.
Thank you, sir.
The car clinic is about Freon, according to Conrad. Freon has changed. Can I use 134A instead of 1234YF? Well, we'll find out. As of January 1st, 2021, the United States Environmental Protection Agency mandated that all passenger cars and light-duty trucks coming off the assembly lines must utilize the R1234YF as their HVAC system refrigerant. The European Union forced the changeover January 1st of the previous year. However, many OEMs had already begun to making the change several years. Before that, Cadillac changed over in 2015. This means that the majority of late model vehicles coming into the service shops will contain R1234YF. Remember that. Instead of the predecessor of R134A, the change has everything to do with increasing concerns about the environmental impact of these refrigerants. Three decades ago, R12 was the industry standard. It was found to cause depletion of the ozone layer, so R134A was adopted since it did not contribute to the ozone depletion. This solved the problem, or so we thought. Several years later, it was concluded that many man-made gases were contributing to global warming. The R134a was one of those contributors. A search for refrigerant that is both friendly to the ozone layer that doesn't contribute to global warming was started. It's the R1234YF. It solves both of these problems. Newer systems have a very small capacity that are much less prone to leakage. This means that technicians need to take care not to overcharge the systems. Many OEMs recommend service only every 3 years. The days of annual top-off are over.
Every 3 years?
Every 3 years.
I didn't know that. Yep. I haven't done nothing to my 22-year-old car.
Well, probably because it blows cold and
no works fine. What do you do to it?
Well, it's just for maintenance, to make sure they overcharge it for maintenance problems.
You just drain it
and
recharge
it? If they're prone to leakage, they're not so prone to leakage. So if you do have a leak, you have to take it to a tech.
Will Conrad be back next week?
Yes, he will, and he can reread this if he likes. Thank you, Conrad. Newer systems require newer equipment to service them. Refrigerant recovery systems, machines must comply with the latest regulatory standards and are not operated only by licensed technicians. So there you have it.
Get your
AC checked by a
licensed by anybody technician. That'll check it.
Yeah.
The doctor, the proctologist, whatever the case
may be. Just bend over and check it.
There you go.
Quick break now. We'll be right back.
Starting to work on your Christmas calendar? Be sure to add the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise in Saturday, December 17th. You'll want to attend Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition at the Loopy Tortilla in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. It's the only place cruisers compete for Loopy's Chili Pepper trophies and other prizes. There's no charge to enter your vehicle for Best Hot Rod, Best Classic, or Best Modern Classic. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest and most unique cruise-in and is your opportunity to see the best hot rods, show cars, classics, and resto mods. And get Loopy Tortilla breakfast tacos with adult beverages. There's no entry fee and cars will automatically compete for those much sought-after custom Loopy trophies and other prizes. It happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. It's the Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition, Saturday, December 17th. The In Real Time Car Talk Show will be there too. Celebrate the Christmas season with friends and family at Tailpipes and Tacos. Saturday morning, December 17th, 8 to 11. We'll see you then, weather permitting.
Hey, Houston! America's greatest hot rod tradition is back! Thanksgiving weekend! The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama! At the George R. Brown Convention Center. Four action-packed days of hot rods, customs, classics, trucks, performance cars, and live music. Do not miss the Ultimate Lowrider Showcase. Sponsored by Shorty's Hydraulics. And the traditional Rod Garage. Saturday only, it's the Tuner Galleria with 250 imports, JDM, and luxury cars, plus music and models. On the celebrity stage, presented by Nick's Auto Repair and Classic Car Restoration, meet Bad Chad and wife Jolene from Bad Chad Customs on Friday. Saturday, it's Dave Kindig from TV's Bitchin' Rise. Sunday, it's Danny Coker and Kevin Mack from TV's Counting Cars. Shop the Swap Meet and Women's World all weekend. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama. This weekend at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Discount tickets at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Part of the Summer Racing Equipment Show Car Series. See Autorama.com for more info.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. When you're online, check out our Facebook page. Give us a like. Tell your friends about us and share our junk with your friends and other car nuts. You'll get Conrad's Unicorn Hunting Features along with all things automotive all week long, including new car reviews, upcoming events, cruise-ins, racing events, and other goodies. You can find the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show 24/7 on the iHeartRadio app. In Wheel Time can also be heard and seen live on Facebook, YouTube, and on InWheelTime.com every Saturday, 8 to 11 Central. 30-minute podcasts available from your favorite podcast provider, 7 days a week. The In Wheel Time chief engineer is David Ainsley. Our marketing advertising manager and video technical director is We Need More, Jeff Zekin. For booking agent and podcast editor Mike Mars and Mr. Know-It-All, his royalty king Conrad DeLong, I'm Don Armstrong. Today's In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is produced by Larry Way and Steve Green. Be sure and join us for the next three-hour In Wheel Time Car Talk Show, Saturday, December 3rd. Our show starts at 8 a.m. Central Time on all of our In Wheel Time Car Talk outlets, right here on the famous Smoke and Mirrors Network. Have a great, safe weekend. Come on out to Autorama. We'll see you here. We'll be right back.
That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.